You're listening to the Midday Grind with Martin Kilcoyne and Charlie Marlowe on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Hour number two of the Midday Grind, Charlie Marlowe alongside producer extraordinaire Chris Gardner and B-Shape, Brendan Schaefer, Martin Kilcoyne, not with us today. He will be back tomorrow on the still all new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. A lot of hockey discussion, a little bit of baseball at the end of the last hour. Right back to the Blues as we welcome into the show Andy Strickland, of course, Fox Sports Midwest Blues, rinkside reporter. So, Stricky Strick, what's it like for you when you wake up on a Monday and you know no Game 7 Tuesday at Scottrade and at least no Blues hockey for the next 3 or 4 months? Is it kind of a depressing day for you?
A little bit. I'm not going to lie. This was a little strange. It was a strange feeling last night, you know, with it being an afternoon game, just kind of even last night. It was a little bit strange, but having no reason to go to the rink, at least for Blues, today is a little bit different. I will be at the rink tonight, Charlie, at the St. Louis Mills, just so you know, for some other hockey activity.
Okay.
But this is a little different. You know, I thought maybe the Blues would find a way to win that game yesterday, force a game seven. You know, you really thought maybe having home ice advantage would come into their favor. And it's not always about games one and two and games five, but it's about being able to play that Game 7, if necessary, on home ice. That's when you truly have the advantage. But, you know, you go back to Game 1, losing that game essentially cost the Blues the series because they couldn't find a way to solve Pekka-Rinne and win a game in their building on the road in Nashville, which continues to prove to be one of the more difficult spots to play in the National Hockey League.
So, Strix, we asked the question to our listeners on the text line, which is 855-282-8255. How do you look at the 2016-2017 Blues season overall? I'm just looking at a text here. Somebody says, no cup equals failure. After 50 years, any season that doesn't result in a Stanley Cup is a failure. That's just one person's perspective. I just think overall for this year, so many ebbs and flows with the expectations, with Ken Hitchcock being fired, Mike Yeo takes over, Robbie Fabry injured, Jake Allen, he's left home, he comes back, and then the Predators beat the Blackhawks. And it's just kind of like it was a weird season to judge, don't you think?
A little bit. You know, you can look at it like that. Obviously, you had to fire Ken Hitchcock. You brought in Mike Yeo. You look at where the team was at the time, and then obviously they found a way to put it together down the course of the regular season. But, you know, obviously the tougher part of the schedule was in the first half of the season. They had an easier part of the schedule in the second half, and they took advantage of it, and they put themselves in position to not only make the playoffs, but also make some noise once you get there. You know, you won a first-round matchup against Minnesota, a team who was struggling down the stretch, but still one of the top teams in the league, start to finish in the regular season based on where they finished in the division. And I really believe this was a huge opportunity for the Blues. I thought this was the most wide-open the Western Conference had been in years. You go back the last 20 years, I said this on TV last night following the game. I mean, you had all those great Detroit Red Wing teams. You had the Colorado Avalanche you had to compete with. I mean, just focusing on the Western Conference, you had Dallas Star teams that were really successful. Most recently, the Chicago Blackhawks and the LA Kings. I didn't see a true heavyweight like those teams I mentioned in the playoff bracket this go-around. I mean, this was a huge opportunity for the Blues, but as a whole, this was a lot of fun, at least from my perspective. You know, with the Winter Classic being here, you know, having a chance to be involved with that, the alumni game was obviously a lot of fun. I mean, those created memories probably maybe reached some fans here in town that maybe weren't Blues fans before, that maybe now. You had the Bobby Plager retirement. You had the celebration of the 50th anniversary. There's a lot of stuff that we did from a work standpoint over at Fox Sports Midwest that made this year a lot of fun to be a part of. So I look at it a couple of different ways, but obviously you wish the, you know, the team was still playing today.
And I think when you look at this series, when you analyze the series, reasonable Blues fans will say, you know what, Jake Allen played great, but overall, the Predators outplayed the Blues, and they deserve to win the series. Is that fair to say? It's like it didn't get to a game seven where you could point to one call or one bounce and say, oh, man, we could have won it. I understand it could have got to a game seven, but just watching the six games, it did seem like the Preds deserved to win.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, they probably had more players factor into the series than the Blues had. So the Blues maybe had a few injuries there where guys weren't able to go to 100%. They certainly could have used a Robbie Fabry without a doubt. But when you look at players like Austin Watson, who became a household name for Nashville, Colton Sissons, and some of these guys that are role players, but they play their role to a T. You know, their top guns really didn't show up until the third period of this series. I mean, I know Philip Forsberg had a goal earlier in the series. It was a rebound goal that went off his skate. But you pretty much shut those guys down before Ryan Johansson scored the go-ahead goal in the third period yesterday. You know, and those are the players you were concerned with. But you also knew they had a prolific group of defensemen led by their top four, who had 181 combined points in the regular season that led the National Hockey League. 150 of those 181 were from their top four defensemen. And I said prior to the playoff series that if you don't know who Ryan Ellis is now, you're going to know who he is over the course of the next few weeks, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, P.K. Subban set the tone for them in game one of the series. You know, Ryan Ellis obviously came up huge. So many of their offensive production was created from point shots and from the back end. And, you know, they got solid goaltending and solid play inside their own end, and they got some production from some guys that you wouldn't expect it from. I mean, their fourth line had two game-winning goals of their four victories here in this series. And when you get that, Charlie, it's a bonus, you know, and that obviously helps you push through and advance in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and the Blues didn't get that. You know, they got good goaltending. At times it was great goaltending from Jake Allen. Obviously, he was terrific throughout the course of the playoffs. But with Vladimir Tarasenko only scoring three goals, he was a good player. But obviously, you look at the way the Blues are built and how they were winning games, it was through great goaltending play of Jake Allen and hoping Vladimir Tarasenko would be able to break through. And they had some good players from other guys like Jaden Schwartz and whatnot. But again, finding secondary scorers, finding other guys to contribute and chip in offensively, that seemed to be more difficult for St. Louis than it was for Nashville.
And is that a main concern going into the offseason, Andy, in terms of what the Blues need to accomplish? Do we trust some of the younger guys to get better and be able to become that, or do we have to look elsewhere? Are we able to look elsewhere?
Well, one thing the Blues have done is they've drafted very well. Even a lot of their impact players that are in the lineup right now are homegrown talent, and they've got other players that are coming. But, you know, obviously you're going to want to, you know, reduce the amount of pressure you're putting on their shoulders when they get here and let them develop, but they're going to be good players. I think if you look at the Blues right now in terms of what they maybe want to accomplish this offseason, they're going to have to get better up the middle. I think most people would agree with that. If you can land a number one center, which is kind of like finding a number one goaltender, these guys don't grow on trees. It's much easier said than done. It's not easy. And I haven't fully studied the list yet of unrestricted free agency in terms of, you know, what players are going to be available and who the Blues maybe could go after. But if you can identify, you know, or strengthen your situation up the middle at the center position and find a winger who can score goals consistently to complement Vladimir Tarasenko, you need some more firepower up front offensively. But you know you have a number one goaltender. I think that's the best part about the season that you can look back on. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Jake Allen is locked up for four more years, his new contract doesn't even kick in, guys, until next year at $4.25 million. That is unreal value for the level of play that he's shown that he's capable of playing. And you obviously have a solid top four group of defensemen, which, you know, it's not far away before we start saying, you know, led by guys like Colton Parayko and Joel Edmondson. I mean, these guys are the real deal, and it won't be long before they're kind of taking the reins here. I mean, Alex Petrangelo is still a very good player and at times looks like an elite player. You know, he showed that in the first round of the playoffs. But you've got some other guys there that are ready to take even another step, and I thought they did here in the playoffs in Parayko and Edmondson. Just by having goaltending and defense, you know you're going to be competitive. Now it's about really strengthening your team up front, and I'm sure Doug Armstrong would love to do that.
In terms of Allen, What were you thinking when he was going through the troubles, the major troubles he was having earlier in the season?
He wasn't very good. I understand, you know, the team wasn't playing very good. They had some tension that was going on there behind closed doors. Doug Armstrong came out and said the team was playing like individual contractors, and they were. They didn't become a team until later on in the year, and he was a product of that, not necessarily playing as an independent contractor, but he wasn't able to find his game for whatever reason. There was distraction that was preventing him from doing so. He had some off-ice, some real-life situations that maybe provided distraction by having a baby, and obviously it's a positive distraction, but still, nonetheless, it can interfere with your ability to concentrate and focus on what you're paid to do, which is to be an NHL goaltender, where there's this ton of pressure on your shoulders game in and game out. And it took him a while to really find his game. But once he did, you saw what he was capable of doing. But he's got to own that, too, the fact that he didn't play great hockey for a little bit of a stretch there. Obviously, they left him home for a road trip, and that was a little bit strange in terms of something you don't normally see. They didn't even start their backup goaltender in that one game at Winnipeg, you know, so they had to go down to the minors, to find the goaltender they wanted for that particular game. But it is what it is. The fact that he was able to turn the page in that, and the team was able to turn the page in that, and he was able to reach the level that we saw down the stretch the last few months of the regular season and still carry it over into the regular season, I think just says a lot about his ability. And this is really the path that he's been taking his entire life as a goaltender. When he played junior, he was the top goalie in the CHL, obviously the number one goaltender for Team Canada in the World Junior Championships. He took that to the American Hockey League, where he was the top goalie in the American Hockey League, led the league in all the important statistical categories and goals against and save percentage and wins, shutouts. He was exceptional. And for him to still be able to bring that game to the NHL now and show the type of goaltender the Blues have now moving forward, this is a real positive sign. People have always been talking about goaltending maybe the one position that has prevented the Blues from winning a Stanley Cup in the past. That wasn't the issue here in the playoffs this year. And the fact that they have a guy now who I believe can evolve, if he's not there already, into a top-five goaltender in the league, and I know a lot of that is just based on how you perform in the playoffs, but this guy just performed very, very well in the playoffs. They scored one goal in three of the six games here in this series. They got to score more goals. He needs more run support. But again, the Blues have to feel very, very good about the fact of where they are at the goaltending position. They've got a very, very good one here.
We're talking with Andy Strickland, of course, from Fox Sports Midwest. Strix, this time of year, a lot of people dealing with injuries. Alexander Steen with a broken foot, and he missed Game 5 but comes back. And afterwards, Mike Yeo talking to the media, just saying, this guy, just to try to get his foot into the skate, let alone play, what Alexander Steen was dealing with. And then we have this report, and somebody also asking, a lot of people on the text line asking, this Igor Aronko out of Moscow, Russia, saying Vladimir Tarasenko won't play at the Worlds, will have a surgery. So I have never heard of this guy. I'm just wondering, have you heard anything about this, about Tarasenko potentially needing a surgery?
You know, a lot of that, well, you're going to hear a lot. First off, you know, Alexander Steen wasn't alone in terms of the lineup in the training room. I mean, this is the Stanley Cup playoffs. There's a lot of guys, and a lot of this type of information and news will trickle out. So, obviously, the Blues are having their getaway day tomorrow. They'll have the end-of-the-year press conference with Doug Armstrong. So you'll hear more and more of this coming out probably as soon as tomorrow.
And, Strix, a lot of people also wanted to know about the expansion draft Wednesday, June 21st. I know the season just ended, but just looking ahead to the summer, first of all, expansion draft, what do you think will happen? Who are some of the names that the Blues may not protect for the expansion draft?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, first off, George McPhee and Doug Armstrong had a very good relationship, and George McPhee is the GM of the Vegas team, and he was in Washington for a long, long time. And there's ways to cut backdoor deals. Hey, if I leave this guy, I'm protected, blah, blah, blah. You know, so you can use some interesting strategy. I've talked to Doug Armstrong a lot about this during the season. He never appears to be concerned about it. This is almost like a non-issue. You have to obviously protect seven forwards, And you know right off the bat, obviously you're going to protect Tarasenko, you're going to protect Schwartz, you're going to protect Steen most likely, obviously, Stastny most likely, Berglund, Saboka. You know, that's six right there. So now you got to make a decision there in terms of where you want to go with your seventh forward. Do you want to expose a guy like David Perron? Do you want to protect a player like Ryan Reeves that you figure would be attractive to a team like Las Vegas that's trying to build a competitive roster? I mean, so you get down to that seventh spot. That'll be interesting to see what Doug Armstrong elects to do, and obviously he's got a few weeks to make that decision.
So, Strick, Scotty Upshaw, the one unrestricted free agent for next year, do you think this team, is it going to look pretty much the same as we've seen here? Do you think there is a big deal to be made? Will Doug Armstrong try and go out and get a center? I understand you said earlier it's not easy to get somebody like that. What do you think will happen this summer in terms of moves?
To you know, increase the overall talent level offensively up front through free agency. You never know, some deals could be made. There could be players who the Blues may not protect, who they may trade prior to the expansion draft. You know, you'll see a lot of that movement. This is going to be interesting, guys, in terms of the NHL, because you may see some deals. If a team doesn't feel like they can protect a player and they don't want to lose them for nothing, you may see trades made in an effort to still get something back for a player on your roster that you're not able to protect. You know, so it'll be interesting to see how a lot of these teams handle their business internally over the course of the time between now and the beginning of the expansion draft. But the team never looks exactly the same. I mean, you've got some players coming up. You know, next year you've got Tage Thompson, a former first-round pick, Jordan Kyrou, a former second-round pick, Samuel Blaze, who's a former sixth-round pick, who's turned some heads down to the minors. These guys are going to make a push in training camp to see if they can at least stick around for that nine-game period and force the organization to make a decision. You've got Jake Walman on the back end, and he's a former third-round pick, guys, but talking to scouts who have watched him play down in the American Hockey League since he's turned pro at the end of his college season, scouts are raving about his skating ability and his ability to play at this level right now. This guy is going to have a chance to be here as soon as next year. We'll see what the organization elects to do there. Vince Dunn is another left-shot defenseman who they have down there who brings some tenacity and some skating and offensive ability, who is going to play in the National Hockey League. How soon remains to be seen. So they've got players coming who they've drafted as well. It's not all about going to the outside to get them. But I would imagine Doug Armstrong is going to make some moves in the offseason in terms of trying to add some players, just like he would do in any other offseason.
So, Strix, even though hockey season's over, you're still going to be joining us at least once per week for our slop
absolutely
segment, right?
Now we get to believe this, some baseball, bud.
Yes.
We got some Mizzou hoops, but, you know, is it Mizzou hoops season? Yeah, we might as well just get that started, just bypass the football season and just start talking some Mizzou hoops. And hockey never stops, as you guys know, because you've got the Stanley Cup playoffs, and the finals obviously go into June. And then you'll have the draft coming up. The expansion draft will be different. You'll have free agency starting in July. You'll have a prospect camp here right around July 4th this year. So you know, there's going to be a lot of exciting, interesting things that'll keep the hockey fan occupied over the course of the next few months. Plus, we'll find out if some players on the Blues roster end up joining their individual countries for the World Championships that have already begun. I know Colton Parayko's been invited from Team Canada, so we'll see. We'll see if he ends up going there again. His contract is expiring. This is, you know, he's in a contract year. The organization will look to lock him up, so we'll be paying attention to his contract situation as they look to most likely sign him long term.
Strick, head up, stick on the ice. Always a pleasure, sir. We will see you soon.
I've lost my voice too. Did you notice?
No, you were good, man.
Oh,
it's all good.
My voice is getting a little rough there.
So much TV work.
I think it's allergies. That.
Thanks,
I'm
buddy.
Look forward to seeing you guys here shortly. Take care.
All right, you too. That's Andy Strickland, our buddy Strick Nasty, Fox Sports Midwest Blues ringside reporter. Give him a follow at Andy Strickland. So, Gardner, it's the question we kind of posed earlier in the show. Get your text in. Give us a call if you'd like, 855 282-8255, which is 855-282-TALK here on the Midday Grind. It's Charlie Marlowe alongside Chris Gardner and B. Schaefer, Brendan Schaefer. Martin Kilcoyne is on assignment. He will be back tomorrow. But just how you view this 2016-2017 Blues season. I understand people, they say on the text line, any year without a cup, it's a failure. I understand that. You're not going to win the cup every year, but it's just the fact. I understand. It's just the fact, though, that they've never won one. And that's why I think if Blues fans have to watch a team, let's say that the Predators win the cup. I don't think they will. But when you see an expansion team that came along 30 years after you did and they beat you in the playoffs, I remember hearing this from Cubs fans for years that it wasn't necessarily watching the Yankees win championships or even the Cardinals that really bothered them. It was watching the Marlins win. You know what I'm saying? Because the Cubs have been playing for 100 years. And you see a team like the Marlins, an expansion team, that just starts, or the Diamondbacks. And all of a sudden, 10, 15 years in, the Marlins now have two championships. And the Diamondbacks have a World Series. And Cubs fans are still waiting. We have some bitter people on the text line saying they think the Vegas franchise is going to win a cup before the Blues will. And I understand that thought.
Poll question. Who wins the Stanley Cup first? The Las Vegas Golden Knights or the St. Louis Blues?
Man, I'd have to phrase that in, because that's going to be offensive.
Put it up there.
That's almost offensive, though. Like, I get it, the whole 50 years, and, you know, we've got all this angst, but that's pretty heavy.
But it's possible.
Yeah. No, it is. We'll be interested to see what the roster looks like. But, yeah, it's definitely possible.
I'm not saying next year, but we've seen expansion franchises in other sports. You can get pretty good in five years.
You can do it quickly if you set things up right.
Well,
absolutely.
I think, too, like, look, the Blues have had their superstars in the past. Brett Hull, stands out among some of the others. But a team that came in the league the same year as you, like the Pittsburgh Penguins, they've got four cups, and I think that bothers people when you don't have any. And that's fair, but to have the expectation be, it's been long enough, it's cup or bust, that's probably the wrong frame of mind, just because that's not necessarily the reality of what your situation is.
Yeah, I think you have to treat it in the context of, like we talked about, the crazy season that kind of was up and down, but it does feel like there were a few things that could have broken differently, and that this might have been a year where the Western Conference was a little weaker, and you lose Fabry, and you feel like because of where the organization is, you've got to trade Shaddy. It was just like a culmination of all those
things. Here's one thing I will say, though. I came into the season with an uneasy feeling, knowing that you're losing some big contributors from the previous year, but, all right, you're trying to transition a little, go to a little bit of a different style of play, but then you have the coach in waiting. That kind of gave me the uneasy feeling. So I think knowing what we know now about what even this group of players was able to do in the regular season with Mike Yeo, my expectations will be much greater next season than they were this season.
I think most people agree with you there, but again, it's unfair, but it's putting it in the totality of 50 years and now the 51st season, where some people, if you're 60 years old, you're saying to yourself, man, I feel like I've heard this many, many times before. And I understand that's not fair, but I agree with you in the sense that if you look at, to quote Spags, kind of core pieces, I think people are very excited about Mike Yeo. And it could have went the other way. If Mike Yeo takes over and they don't make the playoffs, you'd have no buzz for this kind of awkward coach in waiting and then entering next year, but it wasn't really his first year because he was already here. Well, I think you look at Mike Yeo as the head coach, excited about that. You look at Jake Allen, number one goaltender, excited about that. Proved he can be a big-time playoff goaltender. You have a superstar and Vladimir Tarasenko. I understand you wanted him to perform better. It'll be interesting to see if this report is accurate from our buddy Igor Aranko saying Tarasenko will have a surgery. I feel like right now he only has 46 retweets and 21 likes. I feel like that's bigger news if that's the case, and maybe it is. And also, you have your captain and a guy like Alex Pietrangelo, a 25-minute defenseman. So you have your core pieces there. You have good, complimentary pieces. A guy like Schwartz, who had a big postseason. You saw Stastny. What will the team look like with Fabry back? But usually every team has a relatively major injury. It just does seem like the Blues need one more offensive piece. And that's where it's hard to get that center, but it seems like they need that center. Maybe it can be a second-line center. Berglund can be moved to the third line. I understand people are always hating on Bergie, but I feel like he's still a solid guy. Probably makes more sense on the third line. But I don't feel like they're far away, but I feel like if they come back with basically the same roster, we're going to see this same type of finish.
And plus, you didn't really get a chance to see what a guy like Fabry could do as this group kind of grew up in the last half of the season, because after his injury, you know, you had a couple months of the Blues playing really good hockey, but you wonder how he could have maybe even elevated that group a little bit more. And coming into the season, he was one of the names that we said, after you lose Backes and Brouwer, Fabry's a guy that you want to see step into that role and kind of become more of a threat on a nightly basis and a goal scorer. And, you know, maybe he does take that step next season and he could be that guy. But I tend to agree with Charlie. I think that and a lot of fans are going to say they need a center for Tarasenko and kind of decide who that's going to be and then see how everybody else
slots
behind it.
Well, here's what I would say. You know who it should not be?
Well, we do, 100%. But that's somebody in Yuri Laterra who is going to still probably be around, I would think. I don't, unless they swing a deal with Vegas.
Okay.
They got to put him elsewhere, though.
Right. We know who it should not be.
Right.
So we've taken one step there. Now we move from there to find the correct answer.
Who it needs to be.
But the problem,
we don't
though,
know the answer necessarily.
But we know what it's not.
But we know what one of the options should not be.
Right.
But the problem is, in a salary-capped league, when you add up one or two or three underperforming contracts, guys that are making, if they're making $3.5, $4, $5 million in a capped league, if you stack a couple of those, that's bad news for your team because, for example, I don't see Las Vegas wanting to pick up Yuri Laterra. And I understand that Vegas, they have to get to that floor of the salary cap, so they are going to take on some money. I just don't see Yuri Laterra being one of those guys. I see him being back, and what are you going to do with somebody like that?
That's a good evaluation.
Who's making pretty good money. You can't just cut him. You know what I'm saying? But also, we've seen Yuri Laterra play pretty well that first year. I'm not saying that he's going to get back to that level.
Right.
I certainly think he could be somewhere in the middle. He doesn't have to be as bad as he was this year.
I just find it weird that in part of the evaluation for a player, if he could potentially be picked up in an expansion draft, is simply, well, why are you taking him? He makes a lot of money. No, I mean, but on the ice. No, he makes a lot of money, and we need to get there. That's why we want him. It's nothing else.
No, but I'm saying I think the thought is overall that Vegas is going to want all of these kind of league minimum type guys,
right,
which I'm sure in a perfect world they would, but they do have to get to that, at least the floor of the salary cap.
Yeah,
so they will have to take on some guys that are making
$4 or $5 million. I just find it funny that the evaluation has nothing to possibly do with hockey skills at all. It's just the amount of money you're making, and that's why you might acquire some.
And they'll probably, Vegas will probably land a couple guys that other teams are like, they could contribute to us, but this is a way we're going to shed cap. And so they'll leave some better players than Yuri Laterra unprotected, even though they make some money. And Vegas will probably take those guys over someone like Laterra, who would, for all intents and purposes, just be kind of a giveaway that the Blues would probably be glad to be able to shake things up a little bit. I think it's fair to say, at least that's the way the fans look at it.
Yeah, not Tarasenko, but
no, but the fans.
And also, not just missing the production from guys like David Backes and Troy Brouwer, who did have huge postseasons last year, scoring goals and also scoring the dirtier type of goals that we certainly didn't see from the Blues in this postseason. Just guys standing in front. And everything I've read about, especially this Nashville series, is the fact that Pekka is such a good goaltender that if he can see every shot, he's basically going to stop every shot. And one of the big issues in this series was he was able to see every single shot. And you didn't have traffic. How many times last year did you see in the postseason the deflection-type goals from Backes? And Ken Hitchcock joked around about Troy Brouwer last year, basically saying he's on the beach, he just needs to kind of kick it into the ocean. Mm-hmm. How many kind of shovel-type goals did we see from Troy Brouwer, especially the Blackhawks one in Game 7 that we think about? But there were a lot of on-the-doorstep just kind of cleaning up type goals that we did not see in this postseason. And then I also think that we can't overlook what not having Robbie Fabry meant. And I get that every team deals with injuries. And again, hopefully Robbie Fabry's healthy next year, but there might be another guy who's hurt next year for the Blues. And we saw Stastny miss some time this year. But Robbie Fabry last year as a rookie, I'm looking at his postseason stats, in the 20 games, he had 15 points. He had 4 goals. He had 11 assists. He was a plus one. He was on the ice about 14 and a half minutes. I mean, that's a big-time performer that you were missing. And maybe he could have even elevated from there and had a bigger postseason in his second year. So there's another thing to be excited about for next season. It's just, I understand how it's hard for Blues fans to even think about that, especially right now when you see a team like the Predators moving on.
See, I think people like me might use it as a coping mechanism, though, to start thinking about next year instead of having to deal with, you know, the problem that you just got dealt.
Do you even want to think about next year right now, though?
I would, yeah. I do that often because I really believe that is how I deal with loss at times is, all right, I can't deal with it. Because I can't deal with it, so I move on to the next thing. I do that in life, which probably isn't good. It's probably a flaw where I screw up and I don't want to address it right away. I know what I did wrong, so I want to move on and fix it. But people at times want you to be miserable for a little while. And I think sometimes some fans want to be miserable for a little while and then move on.
I get that. And I think also if you're a diehard Blueser, I understand that. I think if you're a sports fan in general in St. Louis, again, your expectations, they ebbed and flowed all season. After the Predators beat the Blackhawks, you're thinking, okay, we have a good chance to win this series. They don't. To me right now, it'll be fun to see what happens with the expansion draft, but to me, it's Cardinals baseball season now. We'll get excited about the Blues again, but right now...
Can we have guys stop doing one thing for me, though?
Maybe.
As soon as the game is over... Please, from now on, if the Blue season comes to an end, moving forward, and they don't win the Stanley Cup, please don't get up from your bar stool right away and walk by me and go, well, it's Cardinal season now.
But it's true.
But don't do that to me right away.
Because you're not ready. You need some time to...
Well, the game had just ended.
Right.
It happens everywhere. Let's just give it 10 minutes, not 30 seconds.
But just imagine how you'd feel on this Monday morning, waking up, if knowing the Blues season is over, and if the Cardinals were still playing like that 3-9 team 2 weeks in. We have no football team. I think people know that.
Would you say it's Cardinals season then?
We didn't get a soccer team. And just imagine if the Cardinals, instead of being, what are they, 16-14, if they were 11-19
right now. What if they were the Pittsburgh Pirates? Would that guy have walked by me and gone, it's Cardinals season now at that point?
Probably not. I would think not. You think he still would have?
I don't know.
I would think not. But, Charlie... You mentioned the mindset and the perspective of the diehard Blueser. I have one on the line if you want to take it.
Let's do it.
It's an adventure, but America's favorite Uber driver ready to share his thoughts on the Blues season.
Hockey Robert, are you there, buddy?
Hockey Bob, yes, sir. You know what season it is? It's not Cardinal season. It's not Blues season. It's Elmer season.
Elmer?
Don't you remember the old... Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, when
Elmer
Bugs
Fudd.
Bunny and Daffy Duck were, it's duck season, it's rabbit season, it's duck season, it's rabbit season, it's Elmer season.
Okay.
So I'm calling it Elmer season right now. You know what, guys? I'm fine. I don't root for a team in hopes that they win a championship. I root for a team because they're the team in the town that I root for, and I just want them to succeed, and I want to be entertained. And I was entertained this whole season long through the bad and the good. I was thoroughly entertained by what happened with the Blues, and yes, I wish the Blues would have gone farther, but you know what? In all reality, and I watched every second of that Predators-Chicago series, and it wasn't that the Predators were better than either team. It's just Peter Laviolette, who I believe should get the Coach of the Year, had the answer for every time Coach Quenneville or Coach Yeo made a move. He had the counteraction that worked better, and that's the bottom line for me is that Peter Laviolette has come into his own, and I think as a very good coach. And I don't know what's going to happen next round. I don't know if the Preds are going to play the Anaheim Ducks or the Oilers. I would rather have them play the Oilers because that would be one hell of a fast skating series. I mean, because both teams can skate. But you know, I'm fine. It's summertime. It's not time to wallow. You know what it's time for? It's time to go camping, going on float trips, hang by the pool, things like that. Blues fans embarrassed me yesterday by their crying and whining and crybaby mentality that the Blues didn't win this year. I'm almost embarrassed to call myself a Blues fan right now because of all the negativity and negative actions that Blues fans had because they lost yesterday. But, you know, I'm fine. I'm going to go on. I'll continue to watch hockey until the Stanley Cup is hoisted in sometime in June, and then we'll bring on next year, and we'll see what happens next year. I mean, that's the only perspective I can take because, for me, to have any kind of negativity in my life, it just can't happen. I don't like negativity. I like to remain positive. Mm. And I know, Charlie, you're a pretty positive guy yourself. I mean, you got a pretty good demeanor. So, I mean, I'll live. So anyways, that's where I'm at this point, and I thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. That's Hockey Bob. No, I like that mentality. I am the same way in terms of you don't want negativity in your life. Be positive. It's all good. You got to the second round of the playoffs, but I do understand the longtime Blues fan, and I know this is kind of hyperbole here, but I get the longtime Blues fan. You go on social media, and people are posting and saying things like, will this team ever win the cup before I die? And people are posting things like the Las Vegas franchise is going to win one before us. And it's, again, it's not the 100 years, it's not the Cubs, but it's going to be 51 years now. And I understand the long-suffering Blues fan kind of always the wait till next year. Do you know what I'm saying? And again, I think you should be very, very excited about the future of the St. Louis Blues. But right now, are you excited that next year can be the year they win the cup?
Yes.
I mean, they have a chance, but I feel like without a slogan, first of all, but without a significant addition,
we get Joe Madden on the
floor. I don't see them as one of the absolute elite cup contenders. And every year's different. Jake Allen said this yesterday as we're talking to him in the locker room. Every year you don't make it with a legitimate chance to get to the Western Conference Final. He would love to say that's the case, but maybe next year the Blackhawks are a powerhouse in the postseason again. Maybe something happens with the Wild. Maybe one of these teams in the Pacific Division rises up. You just don't know how many opportunities you're going to get to knock on the door. And the last couple years, you get to the West Final last year, and you get to Game 6 of the second round this year. I mean, you're pretty darn close. Every year is not going to even be this good.
On the text line, well, before I get to that, one thing about Hockey Bob's call. I enjoyed when he said he's going to live and then promptly coughed afterwards. Just hope that's not a harbinger. We want you around, Bob. Carlos Danger chiming in saying, tell Robert it's also bleach drinking season, as you would expect. And Ward Cleaver with, it's hit Hockey Bob in the groin with a puck season.
Oh, come on. Hockey Bob, right there, that was a very reasoned take. Seriously.
It was actually, besides Elmer season,
no, I like that, actually.
A reasonable response.
From a diehard Bluesier. So I like that, and I appreciate that. And also, I agree with him. You should not just always be thinking, woe is me. But I also understand the other side of it, where Blues fans will say, we've kind of heard this here before. But you know what? It could be a lot worse. That's the other thing. This is what? Six straight years in the postseason. A couple of relatively deep runs the last couple years. Things are good. Could they be better? Absolutely. But things could also be worse. You could be with a franchise that hasn't made the postseason in four
or
5 years.
Blooming idiot managing your franchise.
There you go. All right, let's take a break. We got the Grinder coming up next. Cam Jansen at 2:00 breaking down this Blues season. That's third hour. We'll start with that. But first, got to tell you about Old Kinderhook. Looking for a getaway weekend with the family? Look no farther than Old Kinderhook, located at the Lake of the Ozarks. Old Kinderhook is a family-friendly resort boasting amenities for the whole family, including indoor and outdoor pools, water activities, a spa, and their award-winning golf course and restaurant. Check out Old Kinderhook's Fun Fest this summer, which include a professional fireworks show, a cookout, tons of games, live entertainment, bouncy houses, clowns, and the best part, most activities are free. The Fun Fests are on May 26th, June 30th and September 1st. Book your stay now at oldkinderhook.com.